If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
These shows aren't some genre and, ooh, they're entertaining and, wow, this guy's intense. Why do you think I'm intense? I'm under total attack. I've been hunted for decades by these people. They've attacked my whole family. Our family's never been stronger because we're not wimps and we understand we're doing God's work. But I'm in a war and you better realize you are too. Do you understand that? My God, they've killed over 30 million people with the poison shots. They flood us with fentanyl. They're absolutely in every major public and most private schools with grants, secretly brainwashing your sons and daughters to think they're another sex and make them totally mentally ill and then be mutilated, chemically or surgically. It is a devil cult. It's the same program worldwide. It's BlackRock. It's the New World Order. It's the transhumanist on record. They say the future's not human. They're building this nightmare world, and we're simply saying no, and we're valiantly fighting because on the other end of this, if we fail, is total enslavement and a nightmare hellscape. So just understand, you think I want to do this? You think I want to fight 18 hours a day? You think I want to do all this just so I can act tough? No, I've got to do it. Somebody walks up to me and punches me in the nose, or somebody walks up to me and punches my kid in the head. I'm not happy about it, but I'm going to get pissed off and I'm going to go after them. It's the same thing in politics, folks. How much are you going to take? You got to get vocal. You got to get informed. You got to get engaged. You got to spend money and support the people that are tip of the spear. You've got to amplify all that, and you should get vocal, and you should get engaged as well. I know a lot of you are, but, man, you got to do this with urgency. You're like, oh, it sounds like work.
I don't know, man. That sounds like a lot of work.
No, you're meant to do this, and the future is so dark if you don't, but we're turning the tide. We're winning. But they're going to false flag. They're going to pull out the stops. They've already implemented the Podesta plan. Everything I told you is happening. But they're totally freaked out. And all over the news just saying, he's on his last gasp. Get him off. The Democrats, the senators, just get him off. Just get him off. Just shut him up. Because I got their number. I got their name. I got their ass. And they're little minions. Most of them are compartmentalized. They don't know how all this works. They're getting decompartmentalized. A lot of them aren't pure evil, are waking up and joining us and whistleblowing. Or just walking away, you can do that too. Just walk away. Run up the white flag. Because you're in a war against us, and we're winning, and we're going to win. And where your bosses are taking you is hellish. The only way you fail is not joining us. Admit you're the bad guys. Some of you can admit that to yourselves. You're not totally turned over to evil yet. Be like Darth Vader. Throw your political system lovingly, nonviolently down the reactor shaft. Become honorable for once. It's exhilarating. It's a blessing to fight evil. It's so animating, as Thomas Jefferson said, the animating contest of liberty. You have to live the life of Thomas Jefferson to really read Thomas Jefferson. And then it's so much stronger. There is a white supremacy problem. And it's weird, old, elitist white people that are literally manipulating everybody, killing each other so they can stay in power. And it pisses me off when I sit there pissed off watching this, watching these wild-eyed, crazy people that want to kill me because what color I am. I know who brainwashed them. I know who wound them up. I know who sent them. I don't blame the dumbasses. No, I blame Carbo and John Podesta and the Clintons and Obama and the rest of them. That's who I blame. I know they got whistleblowers out the door at the DOJ. The problem is they don't have prosecutors with testicles to do the job. Can you feel the future? Can you feel the danger? Can you feel the destruction? I certainly do. But I don't think you dumbasses that serve evil do. See, you're in a new ball game. It's a new era. And you know what Thomas Jefferson said? The blood of patriots and tyrants waters the street of liberty. And I don't want that. And there's a good chance we can avoid a lot of that. But not according to the left. They are just whole hog. Let's get it on. And so, you know my view, I think it's your view, not out starting fights, not trying to get in trouble. But if people are looking for trouble, they came to the right place. If you want a war, you got one. If you have some need to be stomped into the ground, well, you came to the right place with the American people. Because America was asleep, and you thought we were intimidated while you pissed in our faces and did all this to us. No, people were asleep. The spell is lifted. It's over. You need to learn to look at a weather vane and see which way the wind blows. It's blowing against you. And this wind, this headwind, is unstoppable. The only question is, are you smart enough to understand that? Surrender is your only option. Surrender now. Give up now. Stop now.
Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors, and that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself is InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts. This is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and your being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. So take action now at theallisonstore.com and look at these two new amazing lines.
Your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the War Room, InfoWars.com, band.video. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live from the InfoWars Satellite Studio here in Austin, Texas. We got a lot of news to cover for you on this Friday broadcast. We'll be joined in the third hour by Tiffany Cianci. She is helping to lead a major protest this weekend, and she'll tell us all about that and how you can get involved trying to stop the takeover of our federal government by all the people that we elected Trump to keep out. So we got a lot of news to get into. I'm going to try to open up the phone lines for your calls in the second hour. Can we take phone calls here? Yes, I think we can. I'd like to, because I'd like to hear from you. As of course, this, we're 1 week away, folks. This time next week, I will be coming to you live, but under a different banner. And it's very exciting, but we're also trying to make the most out of our last week under the InfoWars, flag. Where to even begin? You know, we got so much stuff to cover, and there's so many like individual stories that we can get into. Is it just my Twitter algorithm? Is it just my X algorithm? Because it seems to me like every single day I wake up to the exact same stories over and over and over again. Every single day I wake up to learn about some horrific, horrible, at this point, rather common video of usually either a Muslim immigrant to Europe or a black person or a illegal immigrant here in America just brutalizing white people endlessly. Just brutal and horrific. And it's just like every morning you wake up and it's just like, oh, here we go again. Oh, blood running in the streets. Great. What else is new? And then on top of that, you've got just complete stupidity from the American government, sort of making constantly the wrong decisions. I mean, it seems like every week now, we get to hear about some other core, fundamental, foundational component of Trump's campaign, the promises that he made, just falling by the wayside. Here we have one from, this is date wrong? This says January 22nd, 2025. This might be an older one. But the story that was supposed to be is the fact that they are essentially not even trying to do mass deportations anymore. I probably just searched the headline and got the wrong story, but it's Department of Homeland Security announces ICE arrest policy reversal. This is actually kind of interesting because this is the reversal from January 22nd, 2025, where I guess the Trump administration reversed a Biden era policy that prohibited ICE and CBP agents from making arrests in places like schools and churches. But it's that type of policy that has now been reversed once again. So I guess we got like a year of being able to arrest people where they are. And now we're going back to, look, we're not going to arrest the non-criminal aliens. We're not going to go after them in school. We're definitely not going to be there at the courthouse, you know, to arrest him when the liberal judge tries to let him go and avoid deportation. We're just backing down across the board. And it's absolutely pathetic that we're doing so, especially since the brutality, the brutalizing of American citizens by illegal immigrants only seems to be going up. And I know we're, you know, we're going against the grain here. Typically on Fridays, we try to have a little bit more of a lighthearted show. I try to start off the show, especially with a little bit of fun. I'm going the opposite direction this time. I'm going to start off the show today with like the worst story I've heard in a long time. And it's brutal and parental, you know, advisory warning for you, because it's pretty horrific. And, you know, we'll break this down the other side, but this is just the type of thing that America and Americans are being subjected to on an almost endless basis, practically every day, from one of the tens of millions of people that made their way over our border when Joe Biden decided just not to enforce the law for a little while. And Alejandro Mayorkas decided to open up the gates to the country to a bunch of foreign psychos. And I'm not kidding. They are psychotic. And here's an example of one just from down the road here. In San Antonio, Texas, clip 17, a 24-year-old foreign savage, military-age male, an illegal invader from India, I guess, tried to eat a baby. I'm not even kidding. Let's watch.
As a San Antonio mother in shock, her 3-year-old daughter is recovering tonight from wounds from a total stranger. It all happened Saturday at Espada Park while Gabriela Perez and her family were fishing. That's when a man appeared out of the woods and began punching Perez and grabbing her by the hair, causing her to drop her daughter. That's when, it is said, the attacker started biting the little girl's face. Perez says it was a scene out of a horror movie.
I think whenever he was, like, everybody was already there, I got up and I was like, this is a f***ing zombie movie. Like, what the heck?
VS was tackled by onlookers and held until police arrived. He is charged with injury to a child with intent to cause bodily injury. San Antonio police say it's unclear what led to the attack.
And white Americans will soon be a minority.
Looks like we accidentally jumped to the next clip. I don't know. Maybe that's a good clip to go to now. I don't know. Maybe we should go to that clip now. But no. Totally horrifying. I mean, again, just what has happened? What has happened to our country? I mean, a story of a family, like, you couldn't ask for a more quintessential Saturday afternoon at the park fishing in the duck pond when all of a sudden some insane zombie from India comes stumbling out of the woods and starts biting your child's face. Oh, what the hell? And so, of course, the question is, is this guy a, like, there's two options here. There's two potentialities now that this man from India, this 24-year-old from India, hanging out in the woods in San Antonio, probably doing drugs, I would hope. I hope he was on drugs. I mean, good Lord. But hey, maybe not. Maybe it's just what he does for fun. He's just stumbling out of the woods and finds the first baby he can to, and starts trying to eat it. I don't know. It sounds like drugs to me, but maybe not. Who knows? Either, there's only two options. Either this guy is a criminal, a lifelong criminal with a long rap sheet, as a lot of these guys are, which just represents, again, the just total failure of us to deal with even the worst of the worst people. And I imagine the type of guy, you know, typically your life of crime, I don't know, I don't think it usually starts with trying to eat a baby. That seems like kind of high up the level. Like, I think first you start off like harassing people, spitting on people, attacking people. You work your way up to baby eating, I would hope, I would think. So I imagine he's probably got some sort of rap sheet, you know, a mile long, or not. Cause the other option is maybe he's one of these non-criminal illegal aliens, which we keep hearing that, sure, go after the criminal illegal aliens, but the non-criminal illegal aliens, what's the problem with them? I don't know. Sometimes they try to eat babies. So there's that. The question is just like, What are we going to do here? What are we going to do exactly? Because if the Trump administration's not doing mass deportations and these people are still here in massive numbers and they're still affecting our economy to the degree that they are, like, what are we going to do about all of this? Because it really is getting worse and worse and worse.
I don't know if we have the video, but we had it yesterday, and I'm sure we can pull it in. I'm sure you've seen it if you spent any time online in the last few days. This video, New York Post headline, sickening video shows New York City teen stomp on girl's head after she refused to give him her number. The disgusting video shows a teen slamming a girl to the ground and stomping on her head after she refused to give him her phone number, according to police and sources. Now, you've now seen the image on the article. If I didn't tell you the image, would you have been able to guess the races involved, I wonder? I wonder. Yeah, black guy, white girl. What are we surprised now? The video circulating on social media shows the 14-year-old brute. The brute. That's one thing to call him, I guess. You can call him a brute. The B word. I'll say the B word. The brute confronting the 15-year-old girl. So here it is. So he's standing in her way, blocking her path. She shakes her head. No, I'm not giving you my number. Well, prepare to die then, lady. So he walks up behind her, you know, makes sure this friend is filming, picks her up, slams her to the ground. She already seems like she might have been knocked out from that. And then the head stomping. Then he walks off. Big man. Big impressive dude. Now, interestingly, and maybe we can grab this video. Because again, you know, I see this type of stuff. I don't even want to cover it. I don't like covering this stuff. There's other stuff I'd rather talk about. I'm also, you know, I'm not the type of person that's going to take this and extrapolate it out to demonize all of one type of person. But when you see this stuff over and over, and then you see that the mother of this kid is defending him and saying he was acting in self-defense, she was bullying him, then it becomes more than just an instance of random violence. It becomes a matter of policy. It becomes a matter of decisions being made and choices being made and ideas being used to, you know, direct behavior these days, being utterly wrong. I'll knock the blank out of you right now, the bully says as he blocks the girl's path in the crosswalk while one of his pals eggs him on, saying, do it. You stand right there. He orders her, pointing at the ground at his feet. She tries to go around him and puts an arm out and pushes her back. The tense clip shows, get the F away from me. She tells him, turning around and walking away. The masked goon. He's a goon. He's a brute. So lots of words. Then grabs her from behind, picks her up in the air and slams her onto the pavement. While she lies on the ground helplessly in pain, he stomps on her head and walks away. The girl suffered a concussion and was taken to EMS to Harlem Hospital in stable condition. The bully was arrested and charged with assault. He's due to appear in family court on Thursday. And of course, his mother is there to defend him and say that he's an innocent, good boy that didn't do nothing. She actually said, I believe the exact words she used were a humble Christian boy. I'm not even kidding. The humble Christian boy just stomping on women's heads. And again, not to like, anyway, this is the thing I don't understand, because I've been looking a lot at the data around like young women going super liberal. And it's something everybody sort of knows. The data on it, when you actually look into it, is really horrifying. In fact, we have a video that we'll go to. That's an interesting interpretation of the data. But like in your own life, in your own, you know, personal experience, does your own life and your own personal experience not, you know, tell you about the world? Do you not learn from it and start to see patterns and start to recognize certain consistent things? Yeah, the suspect's mom, Selma Allen, described her son as a humble Christian and claimed the girl had bullied him at school. She was being a bully to him. That's it, she told the outlet. He's been complaining about her. I bring it to the principal's attention, but he don't address it. The way my son is being bullied, he doesn't want to go to school. So, like, throw her in jail, too, while we're at it. Like, what is she, you know, she's clearly a drain on society as well, the type of person that's going to lie like that when we have it all on camera. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's actually absurd that these people just, I don't know, man. Okay. It's just crazy. But like, how much he didn't provoke nobody. If you provoke him, he will lash out. Yeah, it's her fault. It's her fault for denying him. Look, if she had just let him have his way with her, she wouldn't be in the hospital. Okay. So whose fault is it at the end of the day? She provoked him by refusing his romantic overtures, okay? She should have just given in. That would have been the right thing to do. But like, how long did we have to hear about America being misogynist, about America being a rape culture, about all this crap? And of course, it's the most sort of stereotypical cliche thing ever, but yeah, it's the very women who are, you know, freaking out and want there to be an HR department in every office to monitor constantly the behavior of men who might dare to make an off-color joke or something. Meanwhile, importing populations who apparently literally don't even understand that rape is wrong. Like, you see videos where it's people like trying to explain that rape is wrong and the people are just like, what? Like, well, I don't understand, but I want to have sex with her. So, okay. So you're importing people like that or, you know, contributing to the justice system that favors people like this and gives people like this the ability to think that they'll get away with it. I mean, he's on camera. He's like, make sure his friend is watching before he slams the girl on the ground. And you just got to wonder, like, what's going on in their heads? And like not the girl that was attacked, obviously she didn't deserve anything, but for like the liberal women out there, 50% of whom are on one SSRI type or another, just like, can you not tell that every time you get your way, things get infinitely worse? Like, is that not clicking at a certain point? And it's also weird because there really is sort of an unspoken aspect to this that I find myself even like, I have trouble sort of breaking the taboo of like talking about stuff like this. But it's also a common thing. It's probably gotten a lot worse since I was in school. Like, I went to public school in Houston, Texas, just a giant, you know, 4,000 person school, 4,000 students. And, you know, it was like a third Hispanic, a third black, and a third white. And there's a story recently about this like adult illegal immigrant who was in a high school, like said he was a high schooler and has now been arrested and charged with like molesting girls at this high school. And I was just thinking back to my time in school. And it's like, sort of, I don't know. Again, I like have trouble even talking about this, but like I remember since middle school even, pretty white girls are harassed literally all day, every day by minorities, like constantly all of the time, like groped, propositioned, like literally constantly every single day. I saw it with my own eyes all of the time. Is that not like click to people? I mean, the differences in culture, the differences in behavior, the differences in like when, you know, one population loses their virginity and starts, you know, engaging in sexual acts, like it's different for different populations. And you've got populations, the minority populations in this country start having sex at a very early age. They're very like, look up the rates of, you know, incest and stuff in these. I mean, it's significant. It's very high. And then you got them just like preying on white girls all the time, continuously. I think the white girls are like, they feel bad about feeling bad about being assaulted constantly. And they like internalize it and they go, it's all men. It's all bad men. So, you know, I think there's a reason why leftists, especially leftist women, make themselves ugly. Like there really is this sort of survival mechanism that's at work where it's like, yeah, I'm going to pierce my body, but I'm going to pierce my face all over. I'm going to get tattoos. I'm going to, you know, wear gaudy makeup and color my hair. And it's this, I don't know, like subconscious, like understanding that the more attractive they are, the more abuse they get. And there's this, and I just see it constantly. Again, I'm just kind of rambling here, but you know, the Me Too movement was another one of these instances where you had a particular industry in Hollywood, a particular person, Harvey Weinstein, and sort of the group around him that was helping him to carry out his crimes. And when they were discovered, instead of going, all right, what's it about this guy or about this industry or about these people that's wrong? It became, yeah, this is all men. All men do this. All men are bad. all men have to pay for this. So suddenly you got, you know, some dude working in an office who's getting written up because he, you know, didn't appropriately address the female in his office because they've been fired up on this rape culture nonsense. And everything is inverted. Everything is backwards. Everything is wrong. And the racial aspects of it are very pertinent, especially because, like, you don't have to tell white boys on average to, like, not assault and impose yourself on girls. It's not really that much of a problem if you lay it out in comparison. So what happens is you have a bunch of programs, a bunch of, you know, social programming, a bunch of, you know, school courses, like all this stuff telling all boys, you have to stop approaching women. You have to stop trying to hit on them. You have to stop being attracted to them. And it's like, okay, there's only one population that's even going to listen to that. And it's the only population that doesn't need to be told it. So do you understand that, like, the nice guys, the nice kids, the nice boys are the ones who are going to be, like, scared now to go up to women? And so the only ones, like, the only people that it benefits to tell you get a class of boys, the entire school, you sit them down, you tell all of them, you are bad for trying to approach women. You're bad for wanting to look at women. If you try to hit on them, you're practically raping them. How dare you? Now, out of that whole population, you're going to have a pretty big portion, the ones who would hurt women, attack women, hit on women when they don't like it, impose themselves on them. And they're not listening. They don't give a damn. They don't care. If they cared, they wouldn't do it in the first place. You don't have to tell them. Like, this is the whole absurdity about, like, educate boys that rape is wrong. Okay, who? Who are you educating? Are you educating the migrants that come over that genuinely don't seem to understand that? Because they actually do need to be educated. American kids, we don't really need to be told it. And so all they're doing is, like, making it even worse. So now you've got a bunch of girls that they want to be, and maybe they don't want to be hit on, but they want to be attractive to boys. And all the boys that, you know, might have to work up the courage to go ask them instead are going, I'm not going to do that. And just sort of isolate themselves, which is why everybody's becoming lonelier. Whereas the aggressive boys that don't give a damn anyway are only going to be more, you know, empowered to do it. And all their competition has been scared away. It's just like, what are we doing here? What is, like, what? Are we thinking at all about the consequences of this down the road and the fact that these types of scenes are going to become way more common in the future as we bring in more migrants, as the social fabric of our society continues to weaken? And so it's one of those things where, you know, what I'd really love to see is just sort of your classic, you know, Christian morality coming back into force, being imposed socially, not from a, you know, law perspective, and set everything right. Because you know what happens if there's no intervention and this continues is, like, you're going to have to adopt Islam just as a necessity. Do you understand what I mean? Like, it's getting to the point where it's not even like a religious thing where it's like you're not allowed to go out because it's haram. It's more like women aren't going to be able to go out without a male escort because they're going to be beaten up if they try. That's where we're going. And there's no reason why we wouldn't get there. There's no barrier preventing us from backsliding into a culture where, you know, women have no protection. The law is no protection and they got to protect themselves. So, hey, you want to go out, honey? Grab your uncle or your husband because it's dangerous.
I know you're the big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methamphetamine before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. I've given this to 500 people. Only 3 people didn't feel it right away. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, when I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. If it doesn't work, tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
It looks just like the stuff from Dune, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
Personally, I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. I was telling you, I've had a little bit of a cold for the past few days, under-rested. It felt like my brain was working at 50% capacity, just felt slow. And now, what's it been, a half hour or so, it feels like I'm back up to 80%. So, yeah, that's my experience. Feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them.
You and me? Honest, I know you will be, because we're always trying to find a better methylene blue. If you've got one that's better, you said you've taken it before. Did you feel the same thing with the other methylene blue?
No, with other ones I've tried, I didn't have a perceptible difference. Yeah, didn't notice anything.
Well, I got to tell you, like it. Bigly, I said, go find me the best. They said, this place doesn't sell it to people. They sell it for medical dyes for arteries instead of like iodine, radioactive iodine. They use this for tracking blood clots or something. And I said, okay, great. So you got to deal with them? I said, well, let me get it. And I've taken a bunch of different brands before. It didn't really do much. I was like, when I did it. And I was like, so they hit a home run with this. So you're saying you've taken, we didn't talk about this beforehand. We just asked you. You've taken others before, though, did not feel like this.
Yeah, that's true. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it.
Yeah, my understanding, you mentioned this, methylene blues, they're not all created equal. Some, I believe, are like a fish aquarium grade.
Yeah.
But they sell it to humans. So what you found, I'm stoked to really...
Look, I love Bigly. Their rule is go out and get the best. Most of our products are private label. It's already top rated. So I said, get the best methylene blue. So I think we've got the best. JB Sears didn't even know this backstory that you all know. You just saw what just happened to him. It's amazing. Get yours now. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
We have two new products at TheAlexJonesStore.com that are guaranteed to work and deliver healthy results. One is Ultimate Energy. It's very simple. High-quality fusion of organic caffeine that is time-released, then with a very strong dose of high-quality L-theanine that relaxes you and gives you clarity and focus. A lot of people take it for tests. They also take caffeine. You take the two together, it gives you smooth, continual release energy for up to 10 hours. A fabulous product, Ultimate Energy. And then, when it's nighttime and it's time to chill, Ultimate Chill, a big dose of L-theanine and a big dose of ashwagandha root that gives you rest, relaxation, and better, deeper sleep. That's also great for your immune system and your whole body. Good, clean energy and good, clean sleep. These two products together are amazing, and they're now available at TheAlexJonesStore.com. While you're there, get the Ultramethylene Blue, get our incredible iodine, T3, bovine colostrum, and so much more at TheAlexJonesStore.com, funding the Second American Revolution worldwide and taking the globalist on head-on.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Keep your hand on your gun. Don't you trust anyone. Keep your hand on your
gun. Welcome back, folks. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Infowars.com, band, dot video. Of course, you support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. It's your final week to win both the Ford Raptor and the custom H1 Hummer, plus $20,000 in cash for every $1 you spend. You get 100 entries to win both of these amazing cars. Plus, we're giving you a free $10 to use on anything at thealexjonesstore.com. This offer ends Monday, the 27th at midnight. So go now to thealexjonesstore.com. You get free $10 gift on us to use on whatever you want to spend it. Of course, you get an extra $10 if you're a VIP member. You're entered to win the incredible cars. There are these new awesome trench knives that are on huge discount. You can get two of those, get an additional 25% off. Lots of ways to save at thealexjonesstore.com. But it's the only way that you can support us and keep us on the air. I got a lot of videos to get into. I just think, you know, one of the reasons, you know, obviously InfoWars has always been just pure Americana, and, you know, still, and nothing's changing about this, the idea of our mindset, our belief system being applicable to literally everybody of any race, color, and creed, because it's a universal value set about liberty and the non-aggression principle and just all good stuff that like literally everybody should be on the same page about. And it's always great seeing anybody of any race, color, or creed who, you know, can grasp the concepts that we struggle to get across here. But at the same time, recognizing that obviously a lot of attacks against us are on the basis of race, and understanding that that is for a reason, and that basically they're trying to eliminate white people in particular because of our history of rebelliousness and nonconformity and individuality that is at odds with their desired world construct of abject tyranny and subjugation. Now, again, doesn't mean that everybody of every race, color, and creed can't also, you know, love liberty. I think that's sort of the thing about liberty is everybody wants it for themselves. It's just you have to also want it for other people. And there has to be some sort of, you know, symbiosis there, some sort of mutual respect, because we've been too nice. I think we've been too nice for too long. And I think it's starting to have some major damaging effects. I'll give you an example. And again, that's why I'm bringing this up and then just, you know, thinking we need to be more explicit about this sort of stuff. The video I'm about to show you was forced to be deleted from the official account that posted it. The UK, I guess, posted this video. Let's not go to it quite yet. Don't ruin the surprise, crew. Because obviously this video was beyond the pale. It was too much. It was frankly offensive. It made a lot of people scared of Nazis. It made them very frightened and scared, and they're afraid that videos like this could lead to, you know, an uptick in white supremacy. You know, it's very dangerous stuff. White supremacy, obviously the most dangerous set of beliefs the world has ever seen. And this video obviously contributes to it. So, you know, jokingly this time, parental advisory, you know, because this is dangerous. I mean, this was not allowed to stay up. The UK deleted this video out of respect for the people that said, this is deeply offensive to us that you would dare put this on video. Okay. Does the crew know what video I'm talking about? Let's go to clip number three now. In the UK, this video was taken down after complaints that it might lead to white supremacy. Let's watch. Okay, so for our radio listeners, it's just a bunch of white kids. It's white children. See, the existence of white children is unacceptable to the New World Order. All of these white people in their home country with their own flag painted on their face, marching around and being silly, this is a terrifying reality. Yeah, I mean, we might as well be watching a burning cross, okay? We might as well be watching the Nuremberg rally, okay? Because clearly this is Nazi. I mean, yeah, looks Nazi-ish to me. I mean, look at that. All of these children are white. Do you understand how dangerous that is? How terrifying that is? So, I mean, really, really think about that. This isn't like, oh, some, you know, crazy radical said something strange about this. The government of the UK posted this up thinking it was an innocent celebration for the World Cup. Right, that's what this is. It's the English, you know, it's a celebration for the English team going and competing in the World Cup. They're throwing soccer balls. And it's a bunch of little English kids cheering them on. And the UK deleted this. They agreed. They said, you know what? You're right. This was unacceptable. How dare we show a video of the natural native demographics of England? We will take it down. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, the fact that a school still exists in the UK that has this many white kids is like kind of a miracle. But they're not just mad that the school exists and isn't overwhelmed by foreigners from Bangladesh. They're like infuriated that somebody would put this video out. They called this Nazi. They said they're scared of this. It's literally elementary school kids being silly and dancing around. But it's all white people, so it's dangerous and it has to be stopped. So I have trouble even expressing this in a world, in a culture where we are constantly browbeaten, shoved down our throat, this idea that, like, you know, the Holocaust didn't start with burning Nazis. It started with their dehumanization. It started with this, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, okay, well, what does it mean when you can't even show a video of your race without people demanding that you take it down because they hate you that bad? Are we not on the path towards something horrifying? I mean, how many times have we heard this over the last decade? That it's like, you can't allow anything to be said about the Jewish people because anything bad said about them is the first step to the Holocaust. Sure, you might not think it's that bad that you said that Larry Fink is Jewish, but it's that type of sentiment that leads to the Holocaust. So let's tamp it down. Meanwhile, white people are not allowed to exist. We're not allowed to be amongst each other. It's considered a threat and hateful and will be destroyed. Now, if you can't show white kids, how long do you think it'll be till you can't have white kids around? And it's already gotten basically to that point. So this is what I mean, is when it comes to, like, racial stuff, who's standing up for white people? White people aren't even standing up for white people. Now, if this was happening in any other race, white people would be the first to stand up for them. For some reason, we can't take our own side, and that's ridiculous. And we have to, because again, things are getting absurd. They're getting insane. They're getting almost laughable. I mean, it's not funny, but, you know, you could call it laughable. University founded in memory of dead white men, now rejecting white men. So there's a university in Canada called Memorial University. And as Dan Robertson on X puts it, on the first day of the Battle of the Somme, 800 white heterosexual men of the Royal Newfoundland Regiment went over the top. Only 68 answered roll call the next morning. Now their male descendants cannot work at Newfoundland's only university, which is named in their honor. Okay, so 800 men went over the top, the Battle of Somme, 732 of them died. And then in memorial of their heroic sacrifice of their very lives, this university was founded and named Memorial University in their memory. And now, you can't work there if you're a straight white man. You gotta wonder, would they have gone over the top if they'd known what they were actually fighting for? Who they were actually in service to? Because it wasn't their progeny, it wasn't their nation. You know, this event, where they're no longer hiring white people, white men, at Memorial University, is what they're actually fighting for. Again, it's just like, what? When are we just gonna put a stop to this? Because that's all that it takes, is us just not going along with this and not allowing this to happen. Why are we allowing ourselves to be imposed on like this? And when are we going to snap out of it? When are we going to finally snap out of it? Because then I've got this. This is crazy. This is a crazy story. It's a crazy post by a guy named Rambo Van Halen. So Rambo Van Halen is responding to a post. Rapid Response 47 put up a video of FBI Director Kash Patel that says the charity that supposedly fought the Klan funded the Klan. The charity that supposedly fought neo-Nazis funded neo-Nazis. The Southern Poverty Law Center ran a methodical, calculated scheme to defraud their donor base of $3 million. Okay, so in response to that, I'm not even sure why this is a response to this, but here's what he said in response to this. And this goes right into what I've been talking about forever when it comes to Jews and Jewish Americans in particular. Rambo Van Halen says, like most American Jewish kids, I went to a Jewish summer camp. It was a good time. Archery, canoeing, crafts, first kiss, some cultural stuff. I forget how many years I went. It was two or three summers in a row, I think. One night, in the early morning hours, the camp counselors woke us up. They said it was an emergency and gathered us in the dining hall. One of the adult counselors told us that the Arabs have gotten a hydrogen bomb and destroyed Israel. Needless to say, we were all freaked out. Some of the kids who had family in Israel, were wailing, screaming things like, "No, Auntie Rachel is dead." But the counselors calmed us down. We all stood in a circle and held hands and said prayers and sang some songs. And then they told us, ha ha, Israel was not destroyed tonight, but they reminded us that this was something that could happen. And that's why we as Jews need to remain hyper vigilant about the people who hate us. Then they put us back into bed. Good night, kids. Needless to say, this was pretty effing traumatizing. And even today, when I see the words Arab and nuclear in the same sentence, that anxiety comes roaring back and it's immediately followed by anger and resentment over what they did to us. Because this is what brainwashing is. In the 1980s, when I was a kid at summer camp, no Arab state was even close to getting a bomb. And no Arab state is close now. Logically, from a rational standpoint, Israel was and is safe. But the point of waking us up in the middle of the night to remove logic and was to remove logic and fear from the calculation, to remove logic and rationality from the calculation and replace it with fear. They tried to break our little brains, and it probably worked on most of the kids. Now, this was a ham-fisted, counterproductive way to go about things because the experience gave me some skepticism. All the experience gave me was skepticism about the Zionist project, but that's another story. Many years later, as an adult, I met a woman at a party. It turned out that she worked for the same summer camp that I attended as a kid. I told her, wow, I went to that camp. She asked if I wanted to get involved, which means give money, but I declined. Then I told her why. I told her the story about Israel getting nuked and how it was an effed up thing to do to a bunch of little kids. She turned white. Stark white, and sheepishly mumbled, I'll never forget this, we don't do experiential learning anymore. Which I think is a very useful term. It's actually the positive spin of false flag. It's a positive spin of a false flag. It's experiential learning. Okay? See, America didn't understand the threat that the Arabs were, and so 9/11 had to happen to us so we could learn what the threat was really all about. That was experiential learning for all of us, where they lie to you and subject you to psychological trauma to manipulate you. Experiential learning is a very nice phrase for that, very nice euphemism. So she says, we don't do experiential learning anymore. He says, I'll take her at her word. Maybe, as she says, they don't do experimental learning anymore. They probably don't do it because they found something better because the zealots discovered the media hoax. How many brains were broken by a bunch of chuds carrying tiki torches in Charlottesville? Was it the hundreds of millions more? They took the experiential learning out of the dining hall and spread it to the entire world. Incredible stuff. Okay, so that makes sense. So that's what he's saying. So he's saying that by funding the neo-Nazi, you know, tiki torch march, in Charlottesville, that was experiential learning. That was fabricating the threat of Nazis to scare everybody into submission. So this is horrible. Like I really do feel sorry for this guy. And I feel sorry for all these kids that are subjected to this. That's crazy. That's crazy. And really think about how crazy it is. Kids are already vulnerable when they're at camp. They're away from their family. They're away from their normal systems. They're always going to be a little bit anxious in general about being at sleepaway camp away from everybody that they know. Then you wake them up in the middle of the night. You tell them this horrible thing and convince them of it. And then you say, oh, we're just joking, but it could have been true. It could have been true. Now, there's a couple interesting things about this. For one, I remember my experience at sleepaway camp didn't have anything like this. There were no psychological traumatizing, brainwashing horror stories in the middle of the night. That's crazy. But the things that did happen, like, I don't know, it's just kind of hard to explain. But like, I actually remember there was like a traumatizing event at the camp that I went to. And now looking back, it was nothing. It was nothing. But I was like a good kid, and my camp had this book they called the Devil's Book. And it was like when you did something really bad, they'd put your name in the devil's book. And anyway, not to make a long story, but like, you know, as a little kid, our counselor was like, we're going to sneak out and we're going to go to the mess hall and steal cookies. And, you know, I was probably like 8 years old or something. And the way the counselor is playing it up, it's like, if we get caught doing this, our names are going to go in the devil's book. Like, it's gonna be, we got to be really good. And of course, he's just messing with us. But as kids, you're like, oh my God, I don't want to go in the devil. I don't want to get kicked out of camp. I don't want to, my mom will never talk to me again. You know, like it. And so just you, I imagine, I'm like, what would it have been like as a kid when already just something stupid, like we're going to go steal cookies from the mess hall. You know, as a little kid, you're like, that's like overwhelming. And it's like, which again, now you look back and you go, oh, okay, that was nothing. They were just messing with us. We were just little kids. But like now imagine telling those little kids, everyone you know is dead. Everyone you know just died in a firebomb and you're taking it really seriously. And yeah, they're all dead. And it's like, I can't imagine what that would do to kids. That is the craziest thing. It's so crazy. It's such an offensive and aggressive psychological deliberate trauma-based programming. That's what it is. Trauma-based programming. It's the most effective, you know, method of population control anyone's ever designed. And so it is what they do to us on a large scale. Actually, now that I understand why he was commenting on the SPLC thing, I think that was that's actually a very sort of insightful connection that he's made there. But it's so effective. The psychological trauma programming is so effective. Even though this guy tells this story, even though he relays it, I think with the appropriate gravity about how effed up that was and how traumatic the whole thing was. And he clearly was deeply affected by it. And yet, in the comments, he's actually defending these people. He's actually downplaying it. He's sort of equivocating and going, well, okay, it was bad, but like every religion does it. And it's like, no, dude, our religions don't do this. That's crazy. No, that's crazy. And you should call it out. You should call it evil. You should call it for what it is. It's religious extremist programming that you were subjected to as a child. And there's no reason to soften that condemnation. There's no reason to minimize that fact. You should really, if anything, you know, be standing on that. Yeah, the Arabs got a hydrogen bomb and destroyed Israel. But yeah, that's what I mean, though. Like, think about when you were a little kid hearing ghost stories, and they were so stupid. I mean, the ghost stories I remember, my God, that same camp, they told a ghost story about a serial killer with an axe that had a laser pointer on it. So then the camp counselors they'd have secret laser pointers and would show them around and the kids would all scream and stuff. Like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. It doesn't make any sense on the face of it. But when you're an 8-year-old kid and you're sitting around a fire and you're hearing noises in the woods and your camp counselor's like, and he had a laser pointer so we could always hit him right in the head. As a little kid, your brain is firing on all these chemicals. I mean, it's, again, it's just picture what it was like as a little kid and how scary things were. When you didn't understand stuff, and to tell a bunch of little kids, your whole family is dead now. So my response to this on X was, this guy recounts a harrowing story of psychological trauma inflicted on American children by Jewish extremists. He then tries to equivocate and downplay it because even a guy like this who thinks he woke up to the Zionist brainwashing is still incapable of breaking the programming completely. He still feels the impulse to protect these people. He still feels like he has done something wrong by telling the truth about them. And that, like, if you look at his comments underneath, he's like, oh, you know, well, sorry, I didn't really mean to, you know, make it sound that bad. And he tries to equate this experience to Christian indoctrination. So he says, well, this blew up. A few notes before I mute the post. One, indoctrination is common in just about every religion. See the Passion of the Christ, which is why I have distrust of all organized religions. The movie Passion of the Christ. You're talking about the Hollywood movie about the Passion of the Christ. Do you think that is the same? You think that somebody going to an R-rated movie, paying a ticket, sitting in a theater and watching a dramatic portrayal of Jesus' life is somehow the same, the equivalent of taking children out of their beds in the middle of the night and telling them that their whole family was obliterated by a bomb? What? This is what I mean. This is what I'm talking about. This is the, this is the thing. Like, I don't get this. Other groups don't do this. That's crazy. I know some people are like, oh, you should look at the documentary Jesus Camp or whatever. Okay, fine. There's like some extremist evangelicals that'll like work up their kids' emotions. I still have never seen anything like this. I've never seen anything of this level. Because that's crazy. But this is how it works. It's like, okay, so you were psychologically traumatized by people deliberately implanting political beliefs in you that you still have not broken out of. Political programming through trauma-based abuse. And instead of going, wow, these people are evil, this was bad, I can't believe they did this to us, and this ideology is wrong, it's all religion. So all religion must be wrong. All religion is wrong because your religion did this to you, therefore all religions are wrong. Because, hey, indoctrination's indoctrination, right? A Hollywood film about the life of Jesus, it's basically the same as ripping kids out of their beds in the middle of the night and telling them that their whole family is dead. It's basically one and the same, right? What the hell are you talking about? That's insane. That's crazy. So why can't he acknowledge that? Why can't he say that? Why does he have to equivocate? Why does he have to say that other people are just as bad? They're not, though. We're not. Then he says, yes, Palestinians indoctrinate kids. And no, two wrongs don't make a right. Nobody should be doing this. Okay, that's good. I don't think that's exactly accurate. I guess it depends on where in Palestine you're talking about. But the kids in Gaza, they don't need to be woken up and lied to about being under threat. They're actually under threat. They actually are watching their entire civilization be destroyed. They got to experience what you experienced as a lie, as a piece of programming, that 5 minutes that they let you think that your whole family was dead. That's the life of the Palestinians that are being victimized by the very people with the mindset like the ones that were traumatizing the kids at camp, who are convinced that they're in a life or death war and that this is worth it. And that's what you really have to understand. Why would they do this to children? Why would they psychologically traumatize their own children? Because they are trying to instill in them the fear and the otherness that makes them controllable. They're trying to implant in them the idea that everyone around them wants to kill them and they're only safe with their fellow Jews. They're only safe if they support Israel. They're only safe if they support the Zionist cause. Otherwise, that feeling that you felt in the middle of the night at camp, that's going to be real and it's going to be forever. It's a control mechanism that they wield in the most abusive and outrageous ways you can imagine, and everybody should be against it.
If you suffer from low energy, if you're not feeling the energy that you used to feel in your younger years, you should try this product and see if it makes a difference for you, because there are many causes of lack of energy, but one of them can be a lack of cellular energy support through pre-methylated nutritional supplements like this that can help you. You can go buy a bottle of vitamins at any store, you know, any Walmart, anywhere that's got cheap B12, which is cyanocobalamin, or the cheap B vitamins, or the cheap minerals like calcium carbonate, which is ground up limestone. You know, Alex Jones doesn't use the cheap low-end versions of these products. And I know this as a nutritionist, as a food scientist. I look at Alex's labels and I'm like, yes, these are the high-end ingredients that I would be using in my own formulations. You may not know that the vitamin B12 that's in that formula, which is methylcobalamin, you may not know this, but that ingredient alone is crazy expensive. I think the last time I looked at the pricing of vitamin B12, it was something like $10,000 per kilogram. I mean, it's insanely expensive. And so the fact that you can get a bottle of this for, what is it, like $22 on the alexjonesstore.com, it's unbelievable. I don't know how they're able to get to these prices. They've also got TMG in there. They've got CoQ10 in there. They've got vitamin B6 and so on. Also another form of folate in the same formula. The ultra methylene red, and it's sweetened by stevia. So stevia, which is great. It's a natural leaf, you know, sweet leaf sweetener. So really, I'm always impressed with what the Alex Jones Store is doing with their product line. So check it out. TheAlexJonesStore.com, Ultra Methylene Red.